coming to preach here at Sandy Point. I always felt the liberty to deliver just what God gives me tonight, and I'm not going to change anything on that. Tonight we're going to follow Him, and everything that we do and say tonight, I thank you again to the church. If I forgot to say so last night, thank you very much for the opportunity this week, and to work in the schedule around too, so I was able to preach the first three nights of this revival, and it was a very active day yesterday, and a much, like Brother Mike said, a much less eventful time getting here tonight. But it's been a great day, and just kind of spent the whole day meditating. And I don't really know, exactly where we're going to go today, but I know it'll be from the Word of God, because we've studied and we've prayed all day, and we're ready, to see what God has in store for us today. And I look around the house today, just about everyone that I know that I see beside has been saved, and I'm thankful for that today. So that, to me, it reassures the message tonight being more for the church than for the lost. But the good Lord, the word, it says that the word will not return void. So if there's something in your life tonight that's bothering you, that's troubled you, that's holding you back tonight, I hope and pray that there'll be something said through the Word of God tonight that'll make you understand. We have to look in the spiritual mirror at the Word of God to reflect to us to see, are we where we need to be? We can all get closer. I don't think I can make that statement without fact today, and myself included. I believe that, it's important today that we get closer in this time, because there are more obstacles out there that people are fighting today. There are more things to tempt people, to drive them away from the house of God. We were discussing a while ago a little bit about COVID and how things have changed since that time. And we see so many times now that people had gotten comfortable, some sitting at the house tonight. And, I want to encourage you, if you're and viewing or listening to this message tonight, you don't have a church home, come out and join us, and join the fellowship and listen to the word, the preaching and teaching of God's word, and come out of here, because it's not the same. It's not the same, no matter. It cannot be, the spirit cannot be manufactured, despite what a lot of things that we see going on today, where people are trying to conjure up things and try to manufacture them today. But you'll know it if you're a child of God and you've been saved by the precious blood of the Lamb, that you'll know what's real and what's not. The Bible says that not every spirit, so we'll be able to discern those spirits and understand what's of God and what's not. There's no confusion in that. God's not the author of confusion. So when we're walking the straight and narrow path, we know that we can trust what we feel is real inside of our heart. Before I had announced my call to preach, that was one thing that was the thing really that was like went off like a neon sign in front of me. I was in a church service one night and Brother Paul Hollingsworth started shouting, and I knew that was out of character for Brother Paul. I knew he was a good man of God and a good worker for the Lord and everything, but I saw him shouting, and I knew at that point that the Spirit of God was moving, and I couldn't feel it because I was being disobedient to what God had called me to do. And I knew that I had to make things right. And when I come out with it and told people that I had, I told Linda Hollingsworth over there at James Hollingsworth's house, been over 1,000 times and watching Westerns and talking to James about the Lord and everything. And I love those conversations. They were building me up and getting me ready for my work that I was being called into that had not accepted at that time. But when I come out with it, boy, it just felt like the weight of the world had been let off my shoulders, and I was so glad. I would have done it 6 months earlier, Brother Jack, if I'd known how much relief I was going to feel from that by doing that, because I carried it around for 6 months, couldn't sleep. I was miserable, cried all the time, anything. It just would set me off, and I wasn't happy. But then when I come out with it and I said it, then I knew from that point forward I had to do it to the most of my ability, and do it the best that I could. And that's what I've tried to do, is try to be submissive in everything he has. This past week, any of these preachers here will tell you, revival week, it gets rough. That's when Satan really turns up the heat on you and tries to distract you from what the things that are going on. I was telling, we had a fish fry at church Saturday, and I was kind of tied up in all of that, and I didn't have a lot of time really to study and meditate like I usually do, and getting prepared for a revival. And then I had But I had been studying a lot before, so I had a lot of things in my mind going that I was going to preach on. And if the Lord allowed me to, that's one thing I did learn for sure, that if you've got a plan, you come in and God says go a different way, you go a different way. You know, you don't try to do what we do of ourselves. And so I was really had a lot on me, and we got here, and I got about New Johnsonville. And I turned in some old gospel music, and I was listening to that, and I was getting relaxed. I told Amy, I said, I finally feel good about what, you know, I'm finally feeling good, and I'm ready to go. And then we get down here and see all the blue lights down here. Of course, the first thought was in her mind was, well, was there a bad wreck down here? Because they had everything blocked off, and we didn't know about the gas leak at that time. So I was thinking, boy, the devil's trying everything he can to try to distract us today. But, you know, today I spent most of the day in my study and just praying and meditating on the Word of God and getting prepared for tonight. And I believe that God's got us a good thought tonight to come to you. And I want to start out tonight by, I talked last night about the man who had sung the special there Sunday morning at church about the drowning in shallow waters, you know, the little small troubles. You know, if we don't address those things, they will become, you know, those saying goes, they'll make a mountain out of a molehill. You know, sometimes that's what we'll do. We'll just do that. But, you know, there's a quote from Corrie Ten Boom. You know, her father was a missionary. He says, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. You know, and that's a fact. You know, it'll empty tomorrow of its sorrow, but it empties today of its strength. If we're so burdened down with the things of this life and everything, you know, this is a time we come, as I said last night, when we come through those doors and come in here to the house of God, you know, we should have one thing upon our mind, and that's Him. You know, if there's anything distracting us, and we all have distractions in this life, none of us are without problems in this life, but if we can't come in completely focused on what He can do and trusting in what He can do this week, you know, then we're not going to see those things today, because I believe that the Spirit of the Lord is with us at all times. He leads, guides, and directs us in everything that we do. You know, we got a God that loves us so much. We got a God that created everything around us. And that's how I don't ever think, you know, somebody can say that they're an atheist out of their mouth. They look at this whole world. Sometimes I don't understand how people can look at the clouds. You know, when Brother Justin had left Unity over at Dresden, I filled in there for about 9 months. And when we get on 22 down there, riding down that, see that big open sky and all those clouds, and sometimes it'd be like thunderstorms and lightning at night. You see all that and you think, how could anybody think that a God could not create that? You know, how can anybody think that that just popped up out of nowhere, you know, for no apparent reason at all? And God shows us things like that. I remember Brother Leslie Hollinsworth saying many times that when he got saved, you know, that he heard the birds singing. He didn't hear them before, but he said, you know, the grass looked greener and the sky looked bluer and the clouds. That's how it is. When a person has got God in their life, they, things look better and you can overcome more things. So we got to be careful not to let the worry, you know, rob us of what we have here in front of us today, you know. We said it last night in Job 14:1, man, it's born of woman's a few days and full of trouble. But there's something waiting for a child of God that is so much better than what we have here. I'm blessed here. Blessed beyond measure. I'm happy, you know. I've got a good church family that loves me. I've got a wonderful wife and daughter, and I'm very blessed in my ministry. You know, I preached a lot of revivals this year, and the Lord's been at every one of them, no matter what denomination over the door, no matter where we've been. God's been there with us, and He's always been there with us, and He always will. He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. So we understand what the Word tells us that. You know, but if we're not careful, we'll let a little bit of worry creep inside of us and it'll distort. We talked about kind of like the cloudy vision that we have from time to time, not seeing things clearly. And I believe today that a lot of the church has, we're so numbers driven today that we've taken our eyes off the Lord and tried to coax people in with something to try to entice them in instead of using what has worked throughout the ages. It's the Word of God, you know, the Holy Spirit, those things that people have compromised on. You know, Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. A lot of people have lost their vision. A lot of churches have lost their vision today. You know, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Going back to that obedience factor that we talked about last night. Time and time again in God's Word, we show our love to Him by simply following what His Word says. Keep my laws, keep my statutes, keep my commandments, all these things. So, you know, the pressure is on people today that when they accept Christ is to try to learn those things that they have to follow. Now, you know, you can't follow something that you don't know. I mean, so it's important that we study to show ourselves approved and be ready for the things that are coming ahead to us today. You know, a church, you know, I've said this a lot of times. I think that when I stepped down from Cedar Grove Church for the next year, I was an evangelist for the next year, and I didn't understand that at that time because we went through denomination change and the pandemic and all these different things at that time, and had actually grown through that, which most churches did not. I mean, we were doing good, and I was happy. I was at peace there. But about the July, God has started telling me, your work's done here. It's time to go on. You know, Brother Jerry got sick, and I was at Galilee. I was a Band-Aid there. You know, it seemed like, you know, for transition, that's where I've been used every time in my ministry. But I was really enjoying it. I love the people at Cedar Grove. I still consider it one of my church homes, and the people there still love and come support me, and a lot of them ain't here today because they're having revival this week, you know. And so I just was so blessed to be over there. Brother Greer had asked me 6 months before he stepped down if I would consider doing that. And I said, well, you know, I said, let me pray about it. I believe in praying before any major decision we make in our life. Matter of fact, I believe in praying about every decision we make in our life. Is it something we do? Because if we make the wrong steps, then we can bring more trouble upon us. And what does that do? That causes more worry in our life. You know, it causes a distraction, a stumbling block between us and God. You know, and today I'm afraid that the people have let worry creep into their life so much that it's clouding the church as a whole, because they're not as getting ready for the 93rd anniversary of our church on October the 19th, and we've had a reel of these pictures here over the years of people, and our church was kind of like Thompson Church. The Fellowship Hall is the old sanctuary, you know, and they've got a new nice sanctuary now, and a beautiful church that was built by the church members. You know, a little bit here at a time. Didn't get no massive amount of debt. People, you know, donated materials. They donated their time. And they worked to build this big, nice church. And it's a beautiful church. I'm glad I'm a pastor there. I love the people. But I got a little bit discouraged when I started looking at the pictures from the times gone by. I started to see people who worked and put the effort in that church. And a lot of them have done gone on to be with the Lord. But there's a lot that are sitting at the house. There are a lot who have lost a spouse or lost a child or a loved one or been through a divorce or something today, and they have removed themselves from the house of God. You know, they've used these different excuses today. I'm going to tell you something. That's the time when you need to draw closer to God. And if we don't do that, we're careful. We let worry get in our heart today. It hinders our worship. It hinders us as a Christian. It hinders our walk with God. And it's something that we have to address because it will eat us up. As I talked about last night, those cancer cells start out real small, but they can consume a person and tear them apart and destroy them. And that's exactly what worry will do to an individual, which rolls over into the church. So that's something that we have to address today is that, you know, we see a church today that is so like vision, their vision goes one direction. That was really exposed to me in the year I was an evangelist. We see churches built on other things other than the Word of God. Entertainment centers, rehab centers, you know, fun houses, all these things, concert halls. They're built on that today. We've got to get back to the old time, the old path. When the saints of God were on the altar an hour before service crying out to an almighty God to have His Spirit run free through the service today to convict people who are having troubles, who were in a worrisome state today, that they have a place inside of God's house. I'm going to tell you, not every church that we preach in today has altars still in the house of God. That's a travesty in this day and time. Because I'm going to tell you, they've removed altars. We've removed crosses today. You know, I preached a message last Easter and got into more of the death of Christ than I ever had in the 14 years previous. And what I had talked about, we see that cross and we disassociate it with church, right? We disassociate it with religion. We see the paintings of Christ hanging on the cross, which in no way depict what that really looked like physically. I mean, they're glorified images that we see. They, and we got to be careful of those things because we'll see those things so many times. We'll not get the dust off the Bible and start to get in there and read the Word of God. And we'll not understand that those things are deceiving children. They're deceiving young adults. They're deceiving adults. They're deceiving everybody who's trying to look at that. Christ was beaten unrecognizable. It was not an image of just a few drops of blood coming down His head and Him hanging up there. Now, a lot of times we see that picture of Him hanging up there. He's not on that cross anymore. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He's not there anymore. And so this is something that we need to be telling our children this. And I was so glad to hear about Brother Handy's daughter being baptized and everything. I'm going to tell you something. My daughter was a couple years ago, before I preached the first word, got saved on the altar over there, on the same altar at the same church that I pastored, the same church I come back to God in. You know, and I'm going to tell you something. I couldn't have wrote a script better than that, you know, to be there, because I'm going to tell you, the way I preach in the different places I go to and everything, what was the odds of that happening? I didn't preach a word that night. We had talked. God had sent conviction, and she knew how to answer. I didn't pull her off in a side room and tell her she was saved. I didn't have another pastor or preacher come in and tell her and let her. She said it. And that's what it's got to come from your heart. Work your own salvation out with fear and trembling. I'm telling you something. We've gotten that. I'm looking across the house tonight, and we've got a lot of people who've got children and grandchildren today who have not been saved today, and they need to understand that to truly get Jesus Christ in their life, they've got to work it out themselves. I've never told someone they were saved. I let them tell it to me, but most important, tell it to God. That's what it's got to be. And we kind of quit taking it. We're not the middleman. You know, when salvation comes, it's between them and the Lord. There's nothing in between. There's no hindrances, no stumbling blocks except Satan trying to do that. We forget just how much that Satan knows and how powerful he is and how much power we give him. That's the thing. We've got to be prepared. Church, in the day and time we live in today, a lot of times we'll see numbers dry up because people are worried about the children being entertained. Well, you know, there ain't nothing there for the kids. You know, we don't have a lot of children in our church, but the ones that come there hear the Word of God. And they hear it preached without fear or favor of man. You know, I was making a statement last night, or today, later on this afternoon, I said, you know, of all the churches, all the people in our family in our church today, we have two families that the mother and father of those children are there with them. All the other ones are from split up, broke apart homes. You know, I was talking about this a couple of weeks ago at church. You know, 93 years ago, had you walked into Mount Sinai Baptist Church in Erin, Tennessee, and you'd asked that same question, wonder how many would have been like that. Right? But that right there, friends, is the reason we got to look to the Word of God. The perilous times of falling away, the doctrine being smeared. I mean, the time that we've got to understand this is crucial today, that we get back to the Word of God and start to put our faith and trust in Him and not in what man has got to offer out there. The revival didn't come through Brother Billy Hollinsworth this week. Revival will come from the Lord. He gives it. If we do our job, me and Brother Steve, as the mouthpiece, then revival will come to that. Sometimes we look around, you know, and we see people compromising their what they've been trained and what they've been taught up. You know, Proverbs 22:6, if my mother had not used that scripture and applied that to our life, my dad didn't go to church with us. My mom took us. Drug us a lot of time. We had that drug problem. We got drugged to church. You know, that was our drug problem. We got took everywhere, you know, to church. We were here. I remember coming here, I believe, on a Sunday morning hearing Brother Monroe Surratt. I think when Brother Dave may have been here, he was filling in that Sunday for him. I remember it was Brother Monroe Surratt who was preaching here. We were going to different churches, and when we had moved back here from Alabama and trying to find a church home, and I remember coming here and, you know, I remember the word was preached that morning. I remember, you know, that, and there's not, you can't say that about everywhere. You preach a man's opinion, and that gets us in trouble. Because I'm going to tell you something, I can't be saved, and you can't be saved by an opinion. We got to be saved by the Spirit drawing us, and us surrendering over to that. It's not an easy way. You know, it's not an easy way to live a Christian. In this life, to be a Christian in this life, it's a challenge to us. It's a challenge to us each and every day. And that's why Christ told us to take up our cross daily. That daily is a key word because we are amongst people every day who don't love the Lord, who don't serve the Lord. Some of them have never even been introduced to Him at all. You know, so it's important that we carry Him with us everywhere we go. Because when we have these worries and troubles in our life today, that we can be a light to those people. We can be a different, a sanctified, set apart, a different people. A peculiar people, is what the Word of God says. That don't win you popularity, being different. It don't win you popularity. It don't win you a lot of friends, you know. We got those friends we hung out with before, and they come meet you in Walmart, and they duck down the next aisle because they know you're going to buy them a church, you know, and everything. Good, conviction sets in on them. God's used you in a place, and it sent conviction on them, but they're not where they need to be. I remember being in that place. I remember Brother Adam Allen. I remember Brother Andy knows exactly what I'm talking about. I remember carrying on conversation like I did before I knew Adam Allen was a preacher. But I had the upbringing that you respected the man of God and you didn't use the same kind of language you did just to everybody else. But you showed reverence to him. Reverence in the house of God is just about non-existent anymore. Now I'm going to tell you, there's a popular saying that a lot of churches have run with today. Come as you are. Come as you are will hurt a church if you ain't careful. Come as you are, but God's example needs to be set in the pews. Amen? I mean, when we come to God's house, He needs to be able to see Christ inside the doors. You don't need to look like the world. You don't need to do that. You got to separate yourself from those things. It's important we do that. Our vision gets clouded as an individual, but as a church. You know, are we trying to win? Listen, our goal is to preach the Word of God so we can get stronger in our everyday walk and see lost souls come to Christ. That where we put the emphasis on here to get them here to repent of their sin, but we've got to put the emphasis on praying them when they get up from that altar. There's not enough of that done today. Because we get them here and we're happy and we're rejoicing. But we forget to warn them about what's waiting for them when they get up from that altar. We don't prepare them for Satan falling on them like an old building and coming at them even harder than he did before. You got to remember, the same Satan that's on the attack and is grabbing at you and trying to pull you away from God, when you come to him, he's going to come at you that much harder. He's going to put doubt in your mind. I've seen people come to an altar of repentance and know they was broken. But by the time they got to the parking lot, they was already questioning. Something got them to that altar. Something sent conviction to them. Something in their life told them that they weren't right with God. They made that step out on faith trying to find the peace that passes all understanding that they needed. It wasn't put there by accident. God's not the author of confusion. We have confused the things. This world, I'm not saying Sandy Point Church, I'm not saying Mount Sinai Our Faith, the West Side, or any of these other churches represented here tonight, but I'm saying we as God people have allowed by not being vocal enough and not calling out things that we see. Hey, we've sat by too long and see things. So when true revival hits, a few years back, there was a great big revival up in the state of Kentucky at a college campus. All these people were getting saved. All these people were getting baptized today. I would love a head count right now of how many of them are still in church. I'd love a head count of how many are still there. Great big flashy movements might be great and they might get a handful of people who are dedicated, but I'm here to tell you, you better watch it close. Because I'm telling you, if they preach an easy way in and an easy road today, it's not. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Broad is the path of destruction. It said, many there be their own. So it's important that we've got to teach our children and the people that we work with, our family who is lost, our family who has gotten cold on the Lord and drifted away out there because, well, somebody said something. Somebody said something. Let me tell you, if Billy Hollingsworth would have never preached his first message, if somebody had said something, would stop me. I would have never preached the first message. I wouldn't have done it. I know doing funerals and stuff, a lot of time when people come through and buy that casket the last time and they shake hands and stuff, and they're like, you're a preacher? You're a pastor? They look at those kind of things. If we allow God to mold us, and work us into what He wants us to be, then He can really use us. Because He can put That person who said that to me was feeling conviction at that time because they were saying, hey, God can change him. He can change me. He can change me. You give them opportunity by living a life for Christ in front of them. That's the place where I talked about last night. Grow where you're planted. When you get in there, get involved. Get active. You know, my wife and my mother-in-law have been, I'm not saying this out of my love for them or Brother Justin will tell you, my wife and my mother-in-law have been the main two workers in the church I'm at for years. You know, there's been a lot of good workers over the years and stuff, but they've been there for decades. And from time to time, we'll have, you know, an influx of people come in, and then you preach against the things that they're living, and they get under conviction, and they go right back out and find a place where they don't preach against that stuff. That's why I'll never preach to great, big, gigantic crowds, because I'm more worried about their blood being on my hands than I am trying to tickle their ears here. This is not a time to do that. It's close to the end of time that we are. You know, we're in a house today that I feel like people look at the person on the outside and they judge what that person can be. There again, I don't think Andy Carey, if I had my Led Zeppelin t-shirt on, people would have thought in 1991 I was going to be a preacher. You know, closet full of that kind of stuff. That was my wardrobe. You know, when I preached the first time here, I was nearly 600 pounds. I couldn't find a shirt to fit me. I was a mess. Anybody was here that night, they remember what I looked like. I had to go to Memphis to buy me some clothes, you know, because I didn't have any dress clothes, you know, at all. But I understood, if you're going to do it, you better do it right. People better look on you and see something different about you and everything. And I've tried to portray that image into reality that all 14 years I've been in the ministry and try to continue to work. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, my Aunt Carol's here tonight. I'm not going to embarrass her. But, you know, she told me for 5 years she carried a burden about me. About me 5 years. I was in a bad place. Prayer matters from people who are reaching the throne. You know, I had those heaping coals put on top of my head and where I was wrong and the things I was doing because of those prayers of those little saints. My grandmother who passed in 2003, my Aunt Carol, my mom, I know those people's prayers was reaching the throne. You know, and Brother Jim, I got these scriptures here that I told you about a while ago. I'm going to tell you something. This is why it is essential. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 13, it says, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called, what? The house of prayer. But ye have made it a den of thieves. A house of prayer is what it should be. You know, a house of prayer. I'm going to tell you, there's been a lot of prayers going for me from this church, I can tell you. Every time I've preached behind this sacred desk, there have been people praying for me. I know a lot of them done went on to be with the Lord. I know the Lillian Frenches of the world, the Sam and the Ellie's, the ones I talked about, the Lillard Turners, you know, the Brother O'Neill's. I know all those people prayed for me. You feel them. You feel them. It gives you the encouragement to keep going. There's no place to stop at this time we're in now. Mark chapter 11, verse 17 says, and he taught, saying unto them, it is not written, my house shall be all nations, the house of prayer. But ye have made it a den of thieves. Now, Isaiah 56 and 7, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings, their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. All people, Brother Steve. Didn't say the ones that we thought would be good workers in church. Didn't say the ones that we might have seen something in, but they wasn't willing to turn over to the Lord. There's a lot of those, ain't it? There's a lot of those people that we see would be such good workers if they just dedicate themselves. They just get in there and work. They got that great personality. They go up and talk to anybody, and they're willing to go out there and help people. You know, I got a lot of people like that in my life, and I've got a lot of people like that in my life who don't know the Lord. And they won't make it. Unless they surrender over to Christ before it's too late. That's a sad thing. You know, I know that Brother Steve's brother, Brother Dale, you say there'll be a lot of good old boys in hell. And that's a fact. You've known them and I've known them. You know, and unfortunately, social media is not the judge of whether they're going to make it or not. Well, so-and-so got their wings. I thought, boy, I sure hope they repented of what they were doing before they left here. You know, because to make that statement, listen, I'm going to tell you something. I've heard the statement of many, many, many people over the years that they know the Lord. But when it comes down to it, the Lord knows if that blood's been applied or not. There's a lot of people who talk a good game, but their hearts are far from Him. That's what the Word of God said. You know, that's what we got to tell our kids, tell these people that are, these younger people who are going up. The reason I can preach a message like this tonight is because people in this church encouraged me and told me about, you know, told me about the Lord. They encouraged me and give me the encouragement that I needed to keep on going and stuff. You know, I know that people would see, I was blessed. I saw so many souls saved early in the ministry and stuff. And you have to sometimes go back to that and remember then seeing what God can do to carry you through these times when it gets kind of dry and barren. You don't see a whole lot of activity going on, but you ought to remember. And sometimes it's just one little simple thing that comes to your mind. And I'll tell you right now, I got Brother Steve up here on the front row. I'm going to put him on the spot. I want to thank him personally for posting that video of Jerry and Larry singing the other day. Because boy, that reminded me how good it can be. You know, I want to get back to that time. You know, I seen Brother Jerry Hollinsworth the last homecoming. He was at Galilee. Didn't have the breath to hardly stand up and talk. And by the end of the service, he was shouting. That's what God can do if you'll allow Him. Those people are the ones that paved the way for us. Those people are the ones. You know, I come here. I was in a revival over at Huntington here. Well, I bet when Brother Dave preached the revival here last time, and I took a night and come over here because I wanted to show Brother Dave, I don't know how many more he'll hold, but I wanted to show him how much I appreciated what he did for me and everything. You need to tell people about that. You're not promised tomorrow. You know, don't let a day go by to keep people encouraged and continue to pray for them. They pray for these children. You know, these children have got a massive obstacle ahead of them today overcoming this world today. You know, we want to ground people in the church, we want people, these old saints that are still here, that are still holding on, to send up these young people's names in prayer because they need the true Jesus, not a social media Jesus, not a fictional Jesus, not a fairy tale, not a, you know, my Lord walked on water. My Lord conquered death, hell, and the grave. You know, my Lord, He was real. You know, one of the things that the videos I guess I like much of all this Charlie Kirk stuff that's been going on and stuff, when he talked about when he went to Israel, he come in contact with the living God. You know, the places he went to, you know, where Jesus prayed, you know, and those different places and all that stuff. This is not some fairy tale or some fantasy today. This is your lifeline to eternity. This is not something that's just a bunch of stories put together by somebody to try to entice you today. This is something that, this is life. The Word of God is the bread of life. We need it in our life. We need to take it serious for what it is. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when we do things that are contrary to the Word of God, we're in sin. There's no blurred line or no gray area on that. If we're not following God's Word, we're disobedient to God. That hurts us all from time to time. We get weak. The flesh gets weak. Paul talked about it so much. Who better to talk about it than Paul? A man who had to completely change his entire life to follow Christ. You know, Saul of Tarsus, the old tent maker, the one that stood at the feet of Gamaliel and learned the Jewish culture and all these things that he learned and everything. He went against everything he did when Christ struck him down there on the road to Damascus. He made a complete turnaround. A complete turnaround. And he had a mission when he got up, too. Today, if we lost our mission, are we putting it on the shelf? Or are we acting it out every day? Are we out there in the highways and hedges and compelling them to come in? Brother Mike said, we've had stumbling blocks thrown on us on that. A lot of people don't want us to come in their house with all these sicknesses and things that are going on now. It's changed things. We had a whole year. I did the nursing home ministry in Brewston for 12 years, and we had an entire year we were shut down due to COVID. You know, it made it too easy to get the gospel. It made it too easy to get the gospel. You know, Brother Mike does this, and I know we do the same thing. We do it for those that are shut in, those that are unable to attend, to try to give them an opportunity because they need the gospel too. You know, we do it for that. But there's a lot of people who are just out there going through the motions. They don't have a desire anymore. I'm glad, you know, the fire and the flame has gotten weak over time, and we've seen such things, people turning away from the Lord. But you know what? Shame on us for that, because if we've done our due diligence to study the Word of God like we should, it told us there'd be perilous times. It told us that there'd be a falling away. It told us there'd be people having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. And it said from such turn away, and it seems like more people are turning toward that way today. And they're turning toward a bad place, Brother Steve, because I'm going to tell you, if they don't get right and get the true God, get the true blood of Jesus Christ applied to their heart, then one day after a while, they're going to split hell wide open. There's not time to sugarcoat those things. Church has got to understand the emergency that we're in right now. Because I believe that the good Lord can come back at any time and be just in doing so, because the Word of God tells us, you know, about all these things we just spoke of. You know, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You know, prideful. You know, we in selfie land today. You know, let me see how many selfies I can take of myself today and put out there. You know, it's a hindrance out there. Social media is just like anything else created by man. It can be a blessing and it can be a curse. It can. You know, we had someone try to break in our church here last week, and I had put on there, you know, for this car needed to be moved out of our parking lot. You know, we wouldn't, you know, they didn't have permission to be down there. They needed to be out of there because we'd had people try to break in our church. Well, I got mud slung at me too for doing that. People say, well, I don't believe Jesus would turn them people away. I don't believe Jesus would have been Jimmy marking on my door either. You know, that's the kind of world we live in today. If you stand for Jesus, listen, you're going to face persecution for Him. But we've got to prepare the younger generation for what's coming ahead for them today, because Satan is not going to let up. You know, Satan is not going to let up. I talked many times about some of my favorite scriptures in Jeremiah 6 and 16, where it says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. That's not talking about 1982 and 83, when I was at First Baptist Church and you had to run from your Sunday school class to get to the sanctuary because Brother Ken Jordan would be preaching and the sanctuary would be full of people. Not no more. We've got too many distractions out there. We've got travel ball. We've got golf. We've got fishing. We've got hunting. We've got side-by-side riding. We've got camping. We've got all these things today that's got people's attention. There's nothing wrong with any of those things, but Sunday's God's day. Keep the Sabbath holy. And when you instill that in your child, he'll grow up with those values. When everybody else is doing it, he'll say, hey, you know, we go to church on Sunday. We go to church on Sunday. Everybody else might not, but we're going to. You know, this is how we've got to be. We can't compromise on those things, because when we do, we end up in the state we're in right now. We end up with split families. We end up with broken homes. We end up with church attendance dying because people, listen, single women don't want to go to church and single men don't go to church. Let me tell you something. You need to go there instead of the bars trying to find a helpmate. That's where you need to start. Somebody who's got a desire to serve God. That's not popular preaching this day and time, and people, especially my age. But I'm just telling you, that's how it needs to be. You know, put God first in every decision you make. I thought, that, you know, a while back that, you know, I grew up at First Baptist over there in Brewston, and there was two men that seemed like, and I think a lot of this here in church here today, so many people I know here have good names. You know, you can't find that everywhere you go. You know, you got people who try to play both ends there, and they try to, you know, hot. You know, he told us he'd rather us be hot or cold. If we were lukewarm, he'd spew us out of his mouth. Is what God tells us. You see, a lot of people trying to straddle that fence, don't we, in this world today? But listen, you know, I had two guys that were, I considered them good Christian men and role models. You know, when I was over there, you know, I talked about him when I preached over at First Baptist last year. I said Jerry Rowland was a man who I had an immense amount of respect for. He had a good paying job in Dixon. He had, three girls and a boy. Boy was my age. I was raised up with him. He was our RA leader at church. He taught it. We went and we raked the elderly's leaves. We picked up, you know, trash. We went out and did things in the community. He took time with us and told us about the importance of that. that it wasn't us working for the church, we were working for God. You know, he instilled that inside of us today. Well, I remember Jerry had a good paying job up around Dixon, I believe, and he lost that job, that plant closed or done away with his job or something. And I remember him going out in the community there, mowing yards, raking leaves, you know, doing odd jobs, little carpenter jobs, anything he could do to make money to put food on his table for him, his wife, and his kids and stuff. He didn't let pride go before destruction. How many people do you know who was making good money and have something like that, get the legs knocked out from under them, who would do that? You know what? He put rubber to the road. He did just exactly what he told us to do. He worked for God. I seen Larry Robinson. I never had him in class. He was a science teacher over there at Bruce, and he always doing something, mowing the churchyard, working on the church, always involved. Him and Miss Betty was always in there working stuff, and I seen those people. And when I see them two men, you know, the way they give their efforts for the Lord out there, I mean, you know, they didn't do it in secret. They got out there and worked. And it wasn't because they was trying to get, they felt that was their duty. And that's what's missing today. We don't feel the same kind of duty and purpose that we did to serve God as we did at one time. And the more that things get stretched far apart, you know, and people ask me a lot of time, will you pray about buying a car? Or you pray about buying a house? Absolutely. Absolutely. I got a young couple that I know right now has made a massive part. They had a humble little house there and was doing good and making good money. And they bit off a little bit more than they could chew. And it's hammered them since then. It wasn't prayed about. It wasn't thought about. I'm not wishing bad upon them, but you can see it playing out right before your eyes. They didn't consult God before they went out on a limb like that. And it hurts them today. And I'm going to tell you something. Over a time, when you make those type of decisions, it'll hurt your marriage. It'll hurt your witness for the Lord. It'll hurt your walk for the Lord. If you'll let God, Lord, why'd you put me in this position? You didn't listen to Him. You wasn't hearing Him. He said, don't go out beyond your means. Brother Billy can preach on this because he's done it. I can say this stuff with confidence. I did it, and it almost ruined me. It took me nearly 15, 20 years to get back in the black again, a long time before I could get back in on my feet again. I see these people time and time again, they do that. I'm going to tell you, they put those, I call it 30-itis. They work about 10 years. They don't see them gaining much ground. They see, well, I'm stuck in the same place, doing the same old thing. I ain't never going to have nothing unless I go out here, borrow me a bunch of money, and make yourself more committed to that job, take more time away from your family, more time away from your service to God, and that's where the chain reaction comes in. Because this person does it, well, hey, they did that. Why can't I follow God, not man? Put your trust in God, not in man. When you do it, you won't make those mistakes. You'll put Him first. Now, I'm talking to an older generation of a lot of people in here today who haven't made those mistakes. But if you pass that down to your children, or are you seeing them making the same mistakes today? That's why the book of Ecclesiastes said there's a time to speak and there's a time to be silent. It's time to speak when you see those things about put in motion. They may not like it. They may turn their nose up and they may go and do it, but you'll have clean hands at the end of the day. That's, I think, is what we're so scared of, hurting the relationship with people, hurting those people's feelings today. But you've got to step out and do it today. Show them. You know, God's give you the wisdom, give them the counsel. Do it in a loving way. Tell them, hey, listen, you better think about that before you do that. You understand that you're going to be committed to this. You know, I got brought it up last night. You know, I went to work in 1995 at HIS, and it had been in business since 1925, so I thought I was set. 2 minutes from the house and go home and eat lunch and everything. I thought, hey, I've got it made. You know, I've got it made. I looked at it on paper there. I've got it made. So I started getting ready to make them big purchases, and it blowed up in my face. Because they went to Mexico and left me there in Brewston with a bunch of debt. That's exactly what's happened. So when you put your faith and trust in God and Him in front of you today, listen, I know a lot of people who have walked this walk. I'm not preaching just to midair now, but I'm preaching to remind you that your job is the elder generation to pass that knowledge down to the younger generation and let them know. I love sports. but they've got their place. Mom and Daddy, if you'll step up and say, we ain't practicing no ball on Wednesday and Sunday night. We're not going to play that. We're not going to do that stuff on Wednesday and Sunday night because those are the days set aside for church. People haven't balked at that, so Sunday is just another day in this day and time we live in. People have went on about that. I had a man tell me here a while back, boy, you got me on that one. Because it wasn't like that when we were kids growing up. You didn't practice on Wednesday. We played football. You got off on Wednesday night in time. You know, Brother Rick's daddy was our head coach. You got off in time to go to church. You might not have went, but you had the option to go. And we went 52-5. So don't tell me that you got to stay till 8 o'clock and practice every night. That's where our priorities get out of whack today. And I'm afraid I see so many of the old saints here today who have lived this life that I'm talking about today, but I'm afraid you're not being vocal enough about it to the younger generation. And it's weakening the church. What you do matters. Your fingerprints are on people's lives. I talked to you about some last night when Sister Eloise and I got off the radio. That my phone was blinking. She sent me that message telling me about that message, how much she enjoyed it, how much she enjoyed the songs I played, and sharing a little scripture and encouragement to me and everything. Her fingerprints are on my life. Hers and Brother Sam's always hug me. You do that squeak when he hug you. And I tell you, he loves you. He's encouraging you. You know, so we got to do that. I see the church getting, you know, the church, and I'm not picking on Sandy Point. I'm talking about all churches. Anybody that's listening tonight, you know, we're talking about across the board, we just see it getting weaker and weaker. You know, Jerry Rowland and Larry Ross, the two guys I talked about, they had what Ecclesiastes 7:1 says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. And Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and love and favor rather than silver and gold. I love the scripture. Me and Brother Lonnie was preaching a revival at Thompson years ago. And I was just scrolling through the Bible and had read that scripture 100 times probably, but it jumped off the page that night. You know, we all try for that big object, that big thing. But I understand that we have to lessen ourselves to make Him greater in our life. You know, and Proverbs 15:16 is better little with the fear of the Lord than the great treasure and trouble therewith. That's something that we need to be preaching from the mountaintops today. Better is little with fear of the Lord than great treasure and the trouble therewith. That person has got that great big job, they got great problems. Unless they've got good staff underneath them, they've got great big problems. You know, unless they got people that they can, that with confidence, put in that place. I got confidence in man, but I got trust in God. And there's a difference there, you know. But we're in a time right now where we see things they going awry, but they could get a lot worse if we don't step up and do something about it. We're in a time that we've got, you know, people get discouraged. Well, you know, a true called man of God should look out there and say, we've got more opportunity now than ever to minister. Because there's more out there that need the Word than any other time. We ain't careful, we'll get discouraged, and our vision will get clouded up with the things of our life and the things we see going on. But we've got a chance right now to see many people come to Christ. I said last night, you know, the Bible says in the last day there'll be an outpouring of His Spirit. You know, that's the true revival. There's going to be one great big revival where this thing all winds up, and we've got to be prepared for it. We've got to be prayed up, studied up, and ready for it when it happens today. And it starts with in our home churches here and standing on the true Word of God. And when it seems like people just, they looking for the entertainment and the things of this world and stuff. And we go back to the Scripture in the book of Isaiah in the 53rd chapter in the 2nd verse. And it's when it's prophesying about the coming of Jesus. And I love this Scripture today. Because when we think of our Lord and Savior, how amazingly wonderful He was. Had He come in that awesome form here on this earth, what would the good have been? But instead, He had to come as one of us. And Isaiah 53:2 says it perfect. For He shall grow up before them as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness. And when we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. He had to come like one of us. a plain person here on this earth. He had to do that. And people saw him do that. You know, you see these disciples and stuff. Well, what are we going to do here? How are we going to do here? This is the same man that they watched perform all these miracles. Heal the sick, you know, restore the sight of the blind, all these things that Jesus Christ did. And they said, where are we going to get it? We see Jesus every day of our life, if we're honest. At some point in time, we see the hand of God in our life every day, if we're looking close enough. At all time, we see Him around us. Last night, you know, I thought worst thing coming to my mind. After the week I'd had, I was thinking the worst. I thought, Lord, somebody's done had a bad wreck up there by the church. You know, that's the first thing coming to my mind. There. We got here, it wasn't as bad. We got to come in, got to settle down in the house of God, have a good fellowship, have good service, got to go home, pillar our head at night, and wasn't harmed. Did we thank God for that? Or do we just take it for granted that we was old? That's what God wants to hear from His children. You know, and that's why this house should be called a house of prayer. That's why it's our job. Listen, the world out there, prayers ain't getting above this ceiling. It's you, the saints of God, whose prayers are going to reach the throne. I love that old gospel song, "Your cries have awoken the Master." It's time we get God's attention. Brother Justin's church, there's that big banner that hangs over and says, and I'll paraphrase it, talks about we're not going to see any, pretty much not going to see any results until we start staining the altar with tears of those that we love and are caring about. When's the last time we done that? Or did we get so complacent that we said, I ain't going to send some praying for them. They ain't going to change. That's our problem. We've sat back and been silent too long, and we've took things for granted. Because Satan has pushed us down and pressed us down and tried, as I said last night, that last tool that I talked about when it comes to the proper tools was the suffering. It's people who have suffered, when they come through, are stronger. If you've lost a spouse or a child or a parent or a grandparent, any of those things, everything you come through makes you stronger on the other side, or it destroys you. There's no in between. You either get stronger or you get weaker. If you've been weak up to this point, tonight's a night that you can change that all around. That you can change it all around. And it simply requires you asking. You receive not because you ask not, or if you ask amiss. You ask the things I should have. God, why did you take so-and-so from me? God, why did you do this? God, why did you put me through this? Matthew 5 and 45 says it's going to rain on the just and the unjust. Both. So listen, it ain't personal. It ain't personal. We all go through troubles. Man is born of woman's a few days and full of troubles. I'm looking at a room full of people today who's been through a multitude of troubles and loss in their life, and they're still in God's house. You've won. Pass that knowledge, pass that love on to the younger generation and the people coming up. Show them. You may be down, but you ain't defeated. I'm glad today we're not defeated. I'm glad today that we still, last night, it'd been easy to say, well, these cops are down here and got this roadblock. Well, there ain't no sense in trying to have church tonight. But we did. I was blessed. I was blessed by the time the song service even started. I'd asked Brother Mike to sing a song last night, and that blessed me. All the song that was sung last night, blessed tonight, the song service, blessed that song Brother Justin sang, Just Another Hill. I remember when he was starting to learn how to play the guitar, I went down there and helped him lead singing down there at Unity while he was doing that, had a good time there. And I'll tell you one thing, the same God that was in that little church there in Dresden, Tennessee, back up in the sticks, is the same God that's here tonight. And He's the same God who can fix the problems that fixed those problems that night when people brought them to Him. Now, God hadn't changed. There's a song we sing sometimes that says, when Abraham took Isaac to the mountain so high, Isaac said, Father, we have no sacrifice. But Abraham obeyed God, and God honored him. And true to His promise, He provided the ram. He's the same God that provided for Isaac that day. He's the same God who came down to a manger of hay. He's the same God today. Oh, it makes me want to shout. He's the very same God that John preached about. 400 years in darkness, God spoke not a word. Then out of the wilderness, Brother John's voice was heard. He said, one is to come to bring the good news, and I am not worthy to unloosen his shoes. He's the same God that provided for Isaac that day. He's the same God who came down to a manger of hay. He's the same God today. Oh, it makes me want to shout. He's the very same God that John preached about. And he's done everything he said he would do. But come back and get me, and he'll do that too. Amen. Amen. That's all I've got, Brother Mike. I want you to know tonight, as the Lord's dealing with you, maybe you haven't spoke up to the younger generation. Maybe you haven't been the parent or the grandparent that you need to be. Maybe you have not been the light to somebody that you know that needs the Lord. Tonight, come talk to the Lord today and commit yourself to doing that. And make it from when we leave out these doors tonight, come out refreshed and renewed and revived with a new fire inside of you to go out and share the gospel with those. He said to go out and preach the gospel to all the world, Brother Mike. He didn't put sections in there. He said to all the world. That means the ones that we don't think have a chance, you still share it with them. The people who might be a little bit dirty and might look a little bit different on the outside, he died for them too. He didn't just die for one. He said, what was that word we said last night? Whosoever. Black, white, green, yellow, purple, pink, polka dot. Don't make any difference. Latino, white, black, you know, Asian. He died for all. Now, he died for you. And I know that most of you know that, and most of you accepted him as your personal Savior tonight, but I'm encouraging you tonight. If you know somebody who's downtrodden, and somebody who's going through worry and strife in their life, maybe you know someone who's got a marriage that's on the rocks or something, listen, you lift them up in prayer. God said, this would be the house of prayer. Now, I'm telling you, I'm not talking about the ones like the hypocrites did there too on the street corner. I'm talking about when you get it serious in here. You know, we say a prayer over and off, and it's kind of routine sometimes, ain't it? It's kind of the same kind of words. You know, we say a prayer dismissal sometimes, just kind of routine, you know. Now, Brother Travis wasn't last night. Brother Travis, he got into it last night, I'll just tell you. That's the kind of prayer it's going to take. People praying straight from the heart. Let it out. Don't put a stopwatch on it. You empty yourself. Empty yourself out to the Lord tonight. I hope and pray that you'll do that tonight, and you'll leave out of here ready for tomorrow, ready for an opportunity. And instead of saying, hey, you know, what could I have done? Tomorrow you can put it in action. Now, I love you tonight, church. I hope and pray that you got something out of the Word tonight. I hope and pray that you know that this will maybe make us realize today that we are the mouthpiece. Not just me and Brother Mike or Brother Justin or Brother Steve, but we're the mouthpiece for God. If you'll open it up, He'll fill it and give you what you stand in need of in every situation. Happened too many times in my life to say otherwise, Brother Mike. Today, I love you. I hope and pray that, again, that you got something out of the Word tonight. God bless you. Our prayer.